You're on.
All right, everybody, we're ready to get started again for after our lunch break. The next thing we have is Mo with the Bike Ped Committee's long-range plan. So Mo, it's up to you. When you talk loud enough, you can do it from right there.
Honorable Mayor Oliver, Mayor Pro Tem Pedler, and Commissioners. Man, you should have been here last week. The motto at the pier is just one example of how we creatively draw visitors to Curry Beach while honoring our town's rich history. Hans and his sons, Hans and Lawrence Curry, had the visionary goal of developing this land for the benefit of others, creating not only a destination, but a safe and accessible community. As a Curry Beach representative to the WMPO Bike Ped Advisory Committee and chairperson of the Curry Beach Bike Ped Committee, I am committed to continuing the Curry family's legacy of progressive thinking when it comes to transportation. I recently read Memoirs Akin to the Sea by Jenny Curie Robertson Bagley, which provides fascinating insights into the history of our town. Hans Curie partnered with the county to complete the road from Wilmington to Carolina Beach into Curie Beach. Additional money from the Curie Land and Development Company completed a one-lane road in 1916. We now call it Dow Road. If the figures in this article are accurate, that one-lane road would have cost about $1.25 million in 2025 inflation pricing, most of it being paid for by the Curies. But talk about progressive. It was the first highway in the state to head directly to the ocean. Our committee stands firmly to ensure that our transportation infrastructure remains safe for all. To this end, I've attached a draft of our strategic plan for the upcoming year, outlining our vision for the future. As you can see, we will focus on funding, communication, education, community events, and transportation infrastructure. I personally want to thank you for approving our two new members, Rylan Fox and John Pride, who just is sitting with us back here.
Hey, John.
Because we have a lot of work ahead of us. We are excited to discuss projects like the Fort Fisher K Avenue intersection, crosswalks, and the East Coast feasibility study. And I hope this year we can also prioritize green lane markings for bicycle intersections, as outlined in the town's bike ped plan. Drawing on the progressive legacy of our founders, this committee is dedicated to improving the safety and accessibility of our town. We aim to educate, communicate, and work collaboratively to create long-term benefits for residents, visitors, and businesses alike. Thank you. Any questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will get deeper into bike ped stuff in just a little bit, and we will. I will say that, you know, we didn't get any type of response from Representative Miller or Senator Lee about our funding request this past year. But I do intend on talking with him when we go back to Raleigh about if there's money available and why. If he can help us out on some of those other crossing type paintings or crosswalks and stuff. So
the high visibility.
Yeah, the high visibility stuff, yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mo. Next, 12.1 on the agenda is talk about storm-related debris removal. Arlen, is that, you want to talk about your concerns and is that something you're going to handle?
Yeah, just to refresh everybody's memory, I guess back after the flooding, we had to quickly act to do something to arrange for debris removal and monitoring. So we utilized the existing contract that Carolina Beach had, kind of built off of that, signed our own agreement that basically just refers back to that. It is not necessarily something that FEMA condones. I still don't know how that's going to play out for this current year, whether we'll get funding or not. That hasn't really been fully discussed yet. But with that, when we signed the agreement back in September after the storm, we did sign the agreement. It's a three-year agreement with the two companies that Carolina Beach uses. We do have the option to terminate those, I think, with 7 days' notice. So what I'm suggesting that we do is that we terminate those two contracts and then go out and for both removal and monitoring, do a real RFP process ourselves so that we have in place by the time the next storm season comes around a plan, I guess, or vendors selected so we don't run into this issue where we don't know what's going to what happen with funding. So
I think you're probably right. But I think before we do that, we should formally request from the mayor that FEMA tell us we have to do that because it will be more expensive. Whoever bids on it will be more expensive than the current contract, and that aggravates me that because of FEMA's view of this, and we should get them to say it on record that, yeah, we don't accept that.
Well, and I will actually, I didn't bring it up in the first meeting.
Right.
I mean, Alan attended with me or whatever in the first meeting, and yep. Intentionally didn't highlight that.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're asking, you know, of course, for all the documentation or whatever. So at the meeting I have on Wednesday, I'm going to actually bring it up at that point in time that this is what we did. I just know that we may be able to get by this time because it's saying it was an emergency situation. But for the long term, I don't think that's...
Well, I think,
but I'll make sure. But it's actually one of their policies not to allow.
No. I understand, so. But I think we should get it in writing because they're going to cause the prices to go up. I mean, so I understand you're in a kind of a tricky space, and I don't want us to lose funding. But because of their policy, they're going to drive up the cost for our citizens, or them if we get them to pay for it. Right. So, you know, for the next time. Which is dumb either way. They do it.
But I think if we find out that they're not going to...
Yeah.
If they're not going to fund us, then we're going to have to share that expense.
Oh, exactly.
So,
right. No,
if we hear that from them, then we do definitely need to...
Because there's certain things that happened back right after the storm, like when we met with... or we're on a call with, and I think both of you were too, with the state...
We're trying to emergency manage it. We didn't think there'd be a federal declaration.
County was going to forego the landfill fees, and the state said, no, don't do that.
Right.
So now we've incurred those, too.
That's right.
And we could have got out of that.
Right.
Yeah, because the county said, okay, we won't charge you.
That's right. Yeah, they were trying to help.
And we also had that the state pretty much implied that
this was okay
to do.
That's right. Yeah.
But... Nobody thought that we'd get a federal disaster.
Well, and honestly, our citizens are glad we removed all the debris fast. So it was the right thing to do anyway. But it's kind of disheartening that it's not like we went out and just paid Bobo. We just tailed on to a contract that did it exactly like you should do it.
Right. So I'll find out a little more on Wednesday.
Yep.
Decision is to move forward.
Yeah, then we got to do an RFQ.
I guess in regard to what exactly we should be doing to terminate these two contracts that we have signed, so that we.
Well, I'm sure if we tell them we're going to let you rebid on a new one, we're going to do one. They'll understand.
I talked to Arlen late last week. And I haven't dug into it at all, but I think if you really. Worst case scenario, I think if you follow the formal procurement process, you're going to be in the best possible position to get reimbursement from FEMA.
For the future, not for this time.
Not vice versa.
Right. No, I'm with you.
And if you get a worst case scenario, you're talking, you know, extremely significant.
No, you guys are exactly right. Sorry, I'm venting my frustration at the federal government, not you guys at all. But there is no way that anyone's going to bid. I bet it's 15% more for all the bids we get to replace this contract. So even the best person we get is going to be 15% more than the contract we already have. Because FEMA doesn't like that we used a contract that someone else negotiated, even though they're right next door to us and everything applies exactly the same. And so, like I said, you guys are doing the right thing and tell us to do the right thing. I'm more venting, so I'll shut up. So I'm sorry.
Well, I just think, you know, we're going to need some direction from council on this about whether you want to be reactive or proactive.
Okay, so if FEMA says we're not going to pay for this because you piggybacked, so we're going to have to incur that cost. So moving forward, then that means we need to terminate the contract, the current contract we have, and go out for RFPs, correct?
I think either way.
So
we may get a pass this time, is what you're
saying.
That's
what we're hoping.
That's what we're going to fight.
That's what
we're fighting. Okay, so either way, we have to.
We're going to have to do it. That's right.
So we just.
That's why I said I'll stop whining.
Yeah.
I'm whining. I'll follow.
You need to watch your timing on this because it's usually, you know, the procurement proceeds to season.
I mean, Arlen, we've incurred that cost, so if we cancel that contract, that's not going to have anything to do with.
They're already paid, so we're good. It's not going to change anything. And I'm sure they would bid on.
Staff's right. I should shut up. Just do what Arlen said. There you go. Sorry, I took the rest of you down with me.
I don't think we want to be in the same position.
Right.
I agree with Arlen.
So Jim, if you and Arlen will work to terminate that contract, and we'll work on an RFP to.
You want us to proceed not only with terminating but procurement?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, are there any other areas, Jimmy, that we would benefit by already having a contract in place? Is there any other, from equipment to generators or anything, that we need to potentially have an agreement?
I mean,
where we are covered.
So that's the question, Arlen. For FEMA, any other protective actions that we have to have a contract before we do it? Because like Jimmy goes out and gets generators.
We've never had an issue with.
I think it's the debris thing is the issue.
Yeah, debris is like a very touchy subject with them. I guess because of all the fraud that's occurred.
Well, that's because some towns have went out to Billy Bob and like actually spent a lot of federal money on it. That's why, which I think is right, but we didn't go to Billy Bob.
Right. We've never used a monitoring.
Right.
If you even look at that, that right there was almost 50% of the cost of removal. You know, so it adds significantly just to have that company follow around and say, like, okay, that was a legitimate load. So.
Well, I've told you, the previous place I worked, we had a tremendous amount of fraud.
Luckily, we
caught them, and they were waiting there. They weighed their trailers and then weighed them. They were leaving stumps in the trailer. We were paying a lot for those stumps in the bottom of the trailer.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we paid the price for when other places did
that. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't hire a monitoring company, we'd have to have our staff out there monitoring it. So, we don't have staff to keep up, do that, so they get paid to do it, so.
Yeah, it would still have to be, in the past, we've pretty much done it ourselves, except for we've had help from some other group companies, but then we went, you know, that we were the monitors, basically, so.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else y'all got direction on where to go?
I think so.
Okay. The next thing on the agenda, the next two items on the agenda are the bike topics, bike ped topics, and then the parks. If it's okay with everybody, I would like to skip over those to closer to 3:00 when we had it scheduled in case any of our citizens show up, which we may. So David, if you are, if y'all ready to talk about the Public Works?
Sure, we can.
And then we'll come back. We'll finish out the agenda, and then we'll come back to those things last. Just in case, I don't want anybody to get upset if they're not here to hear what we're talking about. So
I'm fine with that.
Okay, all right.
So. Can you pull up the PowerPoint that I sent you this morning, Beth, or do I need to try?
I'm doing it now.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is talking about the September flooding and where we are right now. As soon as we see it up. So I took the information that the Building Inspections Department and people self-reported and put it on our map to see where all the flooding impacts were reported. There were 152 different properties reported, so you'll see some of the kind of big areas. You can go to the next slide. I'm sorry. So this is the map of the town. The red areas incorporate one or more properties that reported flooding into the home, either from the building inspection's 100% assessment of the town or self-reported by reporting via email or phone to the building inspections department. And so you can see basically every neighborhood had some type of flooding. If you think about the ridge that runs basically 4th Avenue in the old part of town and then kind of cuts up through the new part of town, the majority of the flooding happened where outlets basically were overwhelmed because of the design. So on Fort Fisher Boulevard, almost every block had one or more properties with the exception of the 100 block south. And then if you think about it, the dip at K Avenue and then it goes back up the hill. So the 100 and 200 blocks of North Fort Fisher Boulevard didn't report any flooding into homes or self-report them. Then as you get south, the town drops and then all of the 13 outfalls that we cameraed and then the two that are owned by DOT, even though they don't want to say they own them because they're outside of the boundaries of Curie Beach on the service 421, were overwhelmed, and for about 2 hours almost you could not access the southern part of town from H Avenue South without going on 3rd Avenue. We had two calls during the storm that I don't believe we could access. Right around 11:30 p.m. You couldn't get further than Davis Road. That's as far as I could make it in the fire pickup truck, and the police department could not make it down there until we got high water vehicles from the New Hanover County Sheriff's Department.
11:30 at night?
In the morning. All during the day.
All during the day.
The rain started about 4:45, and it stopped a little after noon.
Well, I heard 11:30 p.m.
I'm sorry, 11:30 a.m. So basically at the peak, is that about right, Bailey or Chief? Then the other portions that you can see south of town are low-lying lots that just basically couldn't keep up. So once you get off 421, even in the south part of town, there's a decent rise right between 4th and 5th Avenue, and then it drops back off. And so that water goes through the end of the streets. Now that they've cut all that land, you can see the ditches, but there's basically ditches at E, F, G avenues that go to a ditch that runs parallel to 5th Avenue and then goes across Davis Beach Road and goes out. And we'll go through the ditches in just a minute. The next area coming from the south to the north was 5th and 6th Avenue. There's just a low-lying area there that doesn't have good drainage, and once the water stopped running down the hill, it filled up there until it eased up. Then we get into basically North 4th and 5th Avenue. That water drains in through the beachwalk ponds. And that pond system got backed up because all the way at the back curve of K Avenue and Dow Road, that was overwhelmed by water from the Matsu area breaching the berm and then filling up that ditch and basically plugging that all up for about 2 hours. So from about 11 a.m. until about two, that was completely full, and surface water was draining from the Matsu property into that. And then eventually it caught up, and by even as late as 4 or 5 p.m., the water was just starting to recede on Fifth Avenue North, because that whole system was blocked up from the pinch point of the culvert that goes underneath the Dow turn, the Dow K Avenue turn. Then we move up the way, and you can see low-lying areas at each of the other stormwater systems, which are all underground systems and pond systems that then eventually go to Henniker's Ditch. All of those were basically overwhelmed, and it was just a matter of the throughput of the piping systems. So all of those systems, none of those systems, were designed for 17 inches of water in 6 hours. And so until they caught up, basically the lowest areas in each of those areas flooded. Then we get out of the neighborhoods to the Hamby Beach area, and you can see basically all of those are serviced by outfalls to the beach. The outfall system is very small, and they cannot keep up because they are basically in a hole, and all the water comes towards the east from the old Hamby Beach side. So that's Dow, Hamby, Ocean, and Myrtle, and Alabama. And all of that water goes basically from, what's the crossover road, Ed? I'm sorry, I can't remember it back there. From Alabama into the neighborhoods. It's the only road that connect. Yeah, Mackerel. So from Mackerel east, all of that water goes down and to the ocean. And so you can see that was where we've lost one home for sure, 100% lost. The property's been sold and it's torn down. And there are probably a few other properties in that area that will be total losses before it's over. Next slide. So 154 homes reported damage, 100% surveyed by building inspections, and then self-reporting by individuals. The estimated damage from the assessments, $14.7 million for the homes, and then content of $7.1 million. Those are just estimates, and that's basically, as the building inspectors went around, they basically assumed, here's the value of the property, here's how many inches it shows on the outside of the property that's went up, and then here's our estimate. So that is a math number. That is not everyone's reported to us how much property damage. It's reasonably close. I just back-checked that by looking at what they estimated my house damage was and what I've actually paid to fix it so far, and it's reasonably close, so it's in the ballpark. I wouldn't bet on that, but I would say it's probably plus or minus 15%, and that's pretty reasonable.
So of those 154 homes that reported damage, Bethany, do you have do you have permits for those, that many homes?
Yeah, so if you have less than $50,000 of work, you don't have to get a building permit.
It depends on what you need done.
Right.
Some people are having renovations done at the same time, so they
right.
build homes.
Okay.
Right. So I did not pull a permit.
A lot of them you don't have to, and you did it yourself.
That's right. But even if I'd have paid someone to do it, I wouldn't have pulled a permit because, I mean, it would have been, if I'd have paid someone, it would have been about $30,000 because I did it myself. It was probably
$18,000. Garage and things like that, then there's different inspections that you would need and things like right. that. Okay. It just kind of depends on the situation.
Right. So anyway, so that's just kind of the estimated impact. Like I said, it's within 15 or 20%. This is the numbers that we used to get the federal declaration. So these numbers were very important. We'd already got the state declaration by the mayor and I talking, whining to everyone we could. So the governor had did a state declaration, which was a good first step. But then working with, we hosted David Rouser the week after the storm, the Saturday mm-hmm. after the storm. We hosted all of our local representatives and emergency management from North Carolina. We rode around with a lot of people, talked to them. We called a lot of people. And eventually, probably because of Hurricane Helene happening like 2 weeks later, we got a federal disaster declaration as well. Next slide. So what did we do? So first, the Dow K Avenue outflow where it had breached the berm, Jimmy's team rebuilt that berm the next day. We didn't request permission for that, and Matsu, when they visited with us, were okay with what we did, so was NCDOT. We did ask that it get built higher, but Right now, they still haven't done that. We're working through that. The mayor and I met with both MOTSU and NCDOT in the weeks after the storm and showed them every ditch and every outfall that they wanted to see. So we spent multiple visits with both of them, walking all the ditches and talked about that. Public Works has completed, we basically outsourced this to a vendor, camera assistant of all 13 of our beach outfalls. We have identified three that we believe need immediate upgrades, and we will come for funding for that at the next council meeting. We are working with Bethany on camera approval to do that work, so we should have that before we get the money. Jimmy just got the quotes last Friday, so that's why we can come to funding for you now. So that's the eastern side. And then we worked with state and federal officials for the emergency declarations, and we did get declarations in, October, November. So that does provide a funding path. It's not a great path. As I talked about when we went down this, because of the relative affluence of our citizens, they would not qualify for grants, probably. I didn't go through the process because I did the math and decided not to, but for those citizens, if they went to the Disaster Recovery Center at Carolina Beach, the first place you go to is they look at your financial resources, and if you don't have the financial resources, then you can potentially get a grant. If you do, then they forward you on to the Small Business Administration, and you would get a loan for to fix your stuff, and it'd be a low interest loan. And so I don't know how many did that.
So if you didn't have insurance.
Correct. Even if you did, so insurance didn't pay for it. So on that first row, no one on the first row's insurance would have covered this flooding because it was in their first level. So because they're in, what zone is that, Bethany? I can't remember.
V.
Because they're in zone V, everyone on 421, even with flood insurance doesn't pay for the first floor.
Except for electrical stuff.
It does.
Electrical.
It will not cover if you have living space on
right.
The first level. It will not cover.
Okay, so it will cover minimally, right? It would cover to put it back to a garage, but not a living space.
You can have storage and you can have garage space. On
right.
So it will cover that.
So I misstated a little bit.
And there's also a lot of homes that are now in the VE zone that were built or renovated when they were not in the VE zone.
Right.
So for those properties, I was able to draft up a letter just stating that they were, what firm they were in at the time they were built. And from what I've gathered, I don't have 100% guarantee them if they're being covered, but I think it's been helpful for people. So I've written maybe 10 letters or so far.
Good.
And that just helps the insurance company know, well, they didn't break the law and create this space while they were in the regulated zone.
So, okay, nice.
Do you know anybody that's gotten the grants or a loan?
I do not, no.
Yeah, we don't track that. They don't report it to us, so there's no way for us to know. Because that's a personal thing. The other thing is, that first slide you saw of the pictures, that's in the area of the property, because I did not identify properties that had flooding, because if they don't tell anyone, that's not for the town. So when we got the information from the Building Inspections Department in New Hanover County, it said this is confidential, so that's why I didn't write all the addresses, and that's why the map is the way it is, just for all you guys. So if it's a lot or two one way from where your property is and you're mad you're not indicated on there, that's because those are not exactly on the addresses. They're on the street around the address, so there you go. So just a heads up for that. If anyone decides to tell you, oh, well, you don't have my property on here, you must not know about it. Now, if you want to know if we have the exact list, ask the building inspector and she can tell you if she has your property. But
we look at every single house.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, and I think they did a pretty good job. Next slide.
Can I ask a question about?
Can go back. Yep.
Just the outfalls that were inspected, the ones that failed, H.J. and Davis. So south of Davis?
Well, not failed. Require immediate
upgrades. Required upgrades?
Yeah. Yes.
What type of upgrades? What was the issue? Was it, were they blocked? Were they too small? Were they broken?
They're corrugated pipes
basically restrictions.
Restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Deterioration area.
Okay.
And most of the pipes are the metal pipe.
Yes. They are all metal pipes.
That corrugated.
Except from the dunes out.
Right.
Yeah.
So this will be under the the beach access.
Like what failed over there.
Yeah. So these 13, that is all inclusive of all the beach.
That's all the ones that the town of Kerry Beach owns. There's two others. There's one south of the Riggins that services the curve of 421. And there's one at Alabama Avenue that's that big pipe that goes out into the ocean.
Right.
And we're going to talk with Carolina Beach to see what the deal is with that one. And if they haven't done anything, we will probably camera that just to see what it's like. But we did not this time, but Jimmy and I just talked about that this week. Next slide. Good question, sir. Okay, so MISO NCDOT. So in October, the mayor and I met with both of these organizations separately. We tried to get them all together, but they couldn't come. On the west side, to do anything with any of, and we're going to go through every one of the ditches here in just a second. It requires both MISO and NCDOT support and approval, right? So all the three north ditches that service the north side of K Avenue all pass under Dow Road. And NCDOT owns that road and owns the pipes that go underneath them. And they have easements for that with MISO. We have easements with MISO for two of those three ditches, which I don't know why we don't have with the third one, but we got to work that out. And so the two that we do have, one is Henniker's Ditch, which we share with Carolina Beach, that goes through right south of Ocean Boulevard. I'll show you a picture in just a minute to get all these oriented. And then the second one is the one that parallels K Avenue and goes under the turn at Dow. The one at the middle part of the property, which we don't connect directly to, but what pulls all the water out of the MISO property behind Settlers Lane. That one we do not have an easement for, although we've cleaned it out before, so I'm not sure exactly how we did that. So we got to work on that, and I'll show you what MISO said about that at the end of this. We formally communicated to both MISO and NCDOT, both during those meetings and then in letters from the mayor, that we were requesting expanding the two pipes across Dow Road. Because they were both overwhelmed during the event. We received a reply from MISO in January of here's the process, and I'll show you that in just a minute. We still have not received reply back from NCDOT, at least in writing. Of course, they've been focused on the western part of the state because of what happened with Helene, but we will continue the pressure with them. Any questions on that? Cool, next slide. So starting from the north, this is the ditch that actually pulls the north part of Settlers Lane from Kerry Beach Village Way all the way down behind there, underground the houses, and then at the spot connector, it goes to the surface so you can see the ditch, and then it turns and goes back by the pond that is a pond for Carolina Beach, you can see in that little hook, and then it goes back and crosses Dow Road. If you've went down Ocean Boulevard recently, you noted it was repaved, and that's because Carolina Beach did work on the pipe that goes underneath Ocean Boulevard because of problems they had. But that's maintained by them, not by DOT. The actual outfall that we're talking about is the one that crosses Dow Road, and then it goes past them. Since the event, Public Works and I have walked this entire ditch. It is clear there were two areas along Spot Lane that we filled in with riprap because it had basically went off Spot Lane and eat the bank out of that ditch. So we've repaired that. The rest of that ditch is completely open. And during the storm, both Carolina Beach and I verified that crossover, which is a 72-inch or 108-inch pipe under Dow Road, did not completely fill up during the event. So between us and Carolina Beach, we were not able to fill that pipe up. From Carolina Beach's side, it's probably because their pump stopped pumping. From our side, it's just all the flow that goes through there didn't overwhelm the pipe. Next slide. So the next two are on here. So you see, on this one, you see all three. But the two I want to talk about, the K Avenue ditch, well, actually, from the top. So from the top, that's the one right behind Settlers Lane water tower that goes through. We do not connect to that, so no Curie Beach water is in that ditch. What does come through there is all the stuff on both sides in the Mossy land, and then it runs out. That actually goes underneath the Owl Road with just a very small pipe. It's like 30 inches. And then it goes through the Dow Chemical property spillways that was used when Dow Chemical was a plant in the 50s. I just walked that this weekend. Security didn't see me, so don't tell them. We need to clean that out. We requested in our letter to be authorized to clean that out, and we requested that NCDOT upsize that pipe so it would take all that water so it wouldn't come back to Settlers. NCDOT hasn't replied. Matsu said we do not have an easement for that that particular ditch, and probably we did because we don't have any of our water directly going to it.
And that's where the road flooded during the event.
And that's exactly right. And the reason we want that pipe to be bigger is that's the low spot on Dow Road, and that did flood during the event. And then the reason we want them to give us permission to go look at the spillway and then clear it out if it needs to be is if it's backing it up, we're restricting the flow. That would stop both that water and the water in the Matsu property, which will then have it come to Curie Beach. So this one's one that we may have to do a lot of talking with a bunch of people to get permission to clean, and I'll show you why in just a minute. The next one you see the arrow point to, that's the K Avenue ditch. So that services Beach Walk and Curie Beach Village phase, is it Curie Village?
Oh, no, Curie Estates.
Curie Estates phase four.
Did I say that right, or Curie Dunes?
I always get it backwards, and I'm sorry.
Curie Estates.
Curie Estates, phase four, thank you. I always mix those two up whenever I'm nervous talking, right? But basically, all that water goes through the two beach walk ponds, then goes through the back right over here, comes underneath the parking lot by Town Hall to the K Avenue ditch, then goes through, goes underneath Dow Road at the curve, and then goes to the river. During this storm, that was supercharged because all of the water in the Matsu lands, because of their cutting, sheet flowed and then overwhelmed that and filled it up. And so that ditch, the only time in my lifetime that I've ever seen it full was during this event. So basically, it has a 48-inch pipe. We requested NCDOT to review that, and we're going to try to get that pipe upsized. So that's the current focus. And to do that, there's going to be stormwater spending for a bunch of assessments, which I'll show you in just a minute. Then moving down, the one you see, the next one is a dry ditch that goes through, that services 6th and part of 5th Avenue South in the 100 and 200 blocks, goes through the disc golf course, and then goes back through the woods, crosses over right by our lagoon, and then goes out on the south side of the lagoon on H Avenue. This one would only be Matsu because it doesn't go over a state road, so no NCDOT. But when we ask about this and walk this with them, they say we do not have an easement on this ditch either. And Curie Beach has cleaned this ditch out in the last 3 years, so not sure about that. But the formal reply was we do not have an easement on that. Excuse me. This one is one that we need one to work to get an easement because it stops 6th Street, which because of the way it is, it needs to be deeper to flow properly. Or we need to figure out something else for 6th and 5th Street on the north side. Next slide. Okay, this is not showing everywhere. Did I miss one? Yeah, it's probably cut it off. So the last one, and I apologize, I was doing this late last night and early this morning because of work. So the last ditch goes down, parallels 5th Avenue from H Avenue all the way down to E Street, and that one had, so it's not going to show up here. If you go back to the first one, and I'll walk to those in. Go all the way to the first slide. So I apologize. I'll get the picture in there. There you go. The last one, okay, this is H Avenue. That ditch runs right on the back side of Fifth Avenue. Now if you go down, you can see all these streets dropping into it. It turns, goes back here, crosses over, and then goes to the river. The FAA site just did some work back there and got in trouble with Matsu because they tied into that swells without getting permission from them. So I don't know what kind of trouble they got in. But this ditch, we do maintain, was just cleared 2 years ago. And it, I'm sorry, 2 years ago, it did feed properly, although the issues from it, so it was not that that ditch got overwhelmed, but if you see Fifth Street, my house being right in the corner, it wasn't the ditch's fault, it's we're all lower than the street. So it kept the streets from overflowing, but unfortunately, if the water gets to the level of the street, my house is lower than that. So myself and two neighbors flooded on that street, but it wasn't the ditch's issue, it was kind of we have low property issue. So back down now past that. So I apologize, I'll get the right drawing to Beth for the agenda notes. If you can get back to the pictures, thank you. Keep going.
It's drawing.
There you go. One more. Okay, so this is the communication. I put it in, cut directly from their reply, because it highlights a couple of things. So basically, Maso said, we're supportive of what you want to ask, but you got to ask for it properly. And so basically, there's all this documentation that they're requiring. This is the midline dish one, but all of them are basically cut and paste to the email that we got back in the second week of January. So they won't even grant or pre-approval until after you do all these studies. So basically, there's an environmental baseline survey, threatened endangered species survey, tree survey of the area, which I kind of laughed. I was like, well, you guys just cut down all the trees, so why don't we have to do a tree survey? But okay, tree survey. So sorry to be a little glib, but also we have to get the Army Corps of Engineers and DEQ to verify that we can increase the flow to either the river or the ocean. In this case, this is all the river. We may also have to have concurrence from the State Historic Preservation Office because the Civil War was fought back there and we can't disturb a State Historic Preservation Site. So all of these studies would have to be done before we would get approval to do this. So for council, the reason I'm bringing this up is we're going to find a vendor that will tell us how much to do these studies and then put that in the stormwater processes for the town. At the same time, DOT gets another 3 weeks, and then me and the mayor will be calling other people in DOT to reply to our request, because what we really need from DOT is an assessment of those two crossovers and them to do all the money part so that they can build bigger outflow holes across the Dow Road.
Well, and just for everybody's knowledge, the pipes that are in there now, if they get any bigger, that goes to the bridge division.
Right.
They become bridges instead of pipes. So Henniker's Ditch is
a bridge.
It's a bridge.
So the one at Henniker's Ditch is the bridge division of NCDOT. Right now, the other pipes, because of their size, are the regional offices. And
those guys would gladly give it up to the bridge.
They said we'd be glad to do that. But the first thing that has to happen is they have to do a hydraulic survey. And I was like, well, can we get you to do that? And then, of course, Helene happened, and they were like, okay, we'll get back to you. So if we don't get anything from the end of January, then the mayor and I will be pushing it up the chain in NCDOT to at least get an answer. Once we get a hydrological survey, then that would say, okay, we need the pipe to be bigger, right? And for the issue, the part of the problem is Matsu is like, well, you know, it's our property. And like, yeah, but your property is draining in the seller's lane and is the reason we had problems. So if you'll just let us build the berm, that would have probably helped us out. Whether it'll fix or not, I don't know. But if DOT will do the survey, that should give us more information. And that's where we are.
Well, the whatever the number is, 48, 1 to 60, or a bigger pipe, well, do we know that that won't overwhelm the ditch beyond the pipe?
So the ditch, I have videos when it was happening. The ditch was okay. So one problem that happened is all the blowout on the ditch, and my suit communicated with that. DOT, when we looked at it, said, yeah, we would like to put something to protect the... If you go down now and look at that ditch, if you've ever been down there, you can see where it ate out right in the curve, right? So on the other side of the curve, if you walk down there and look, you can see where it ate out a big part of that ditch. Ideally, what you would do is put concrete in there so that it has an impingement thing to reduce the force flow and not eat into the ditch. MASU didn't like that. I'm not sure why. NCDOT did like that, so it's going to get their engineers to fight it out.
But that's MASU's fire lane road, so they should have a stake in this.
Yeah, well, they'll just cut it deeper.
Deeper.
Yeah. So anyway, so we've got a long hoe to go. We're moving forward. Once DOT replies, then we can look for a vendor to start doing some of these surveys if council supports that. I think it's probably the right thing to do. The systems, that's where the plugs were, at least from what Jimmy and I saw that day. If you do other work inside of that and that still plugs, you're going to still have the same problem. Not saying there's not other opportunities, but that's, I think you start at the restriction and work your back. And from what we saw, both the midline ditch, that ditch, and the ditch that goes through the disc golf course were restricting factors. And then on 421, the outflows were definitely restricting factors.
When you gentlemen and ladies, I guess, talk to the MASU people about this whole flooding issue, and now we know, and we've been briefed by their fire control guy about burning back in there.
Yep.
Did you talk about the fact with a lot less vegetation that makes the flooding worse?
We did talk about that.
Okay. And we had that guy with us that day.
Yeah, he was one of the guys.
And he was really the most helpful.
They were not, I mean, they were like, well, I mean, they didn't really have a lot to say about that. I'm with you. Yeah. But the surface flow is a real issue.
I mean, the real issue is we had 17 inches of rain in 6 hours, and our system's not designed to maintain it, but all those impingements didn't help us out any.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to work on what we saw and work on it, right? And I think, you know, when you flood 151 properties, you should try to make it where it won't do it again. Can God send more water than we can move?
Yes,
he can. If he decides to again, yes, he will. But we can at least work on what we saw. And what we saw was restrictions going off of everyone both ways, right? And DEQ could say no. I mean, because one of their issues is we don't want to increase the water flow from our dirty environment to the ocean or the river. So the DEQ reviews an issue.
A lot of goodwill if we made some changes, because we took a lot of heat from this is a town issue, not a God issue.
I mean our stormwater committee has done a good job of making sure everybody's permits up to date. Mm-hmm. All the systems are working in, you know, as their permits show. I think we have our survey from the north end of town that do show some areas we could, where some of our piping may go from a, what, like?
15 to 12.
15, you know, we can improve on that. We need to look and kind of prioritize those things
exactly
too.
Right.
So we can put some money in the budget next year to start making some of those improvements to do everything we possibly can. Will it prevent it? No. If we get the same amount of rain again, we're going to have the same problems again. So,
Yeah, but these are the areas that, based on what Public Works and I saw during the day of the event, is where we should work. I mean, so that's my recommendation to council. That's the stormwater thing.
Great work.
Anybody questions, comments? You don't know what you need to do for the budget, I guess.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Like I said, if we haven't heard from DOT by the end of the month, you and I can start.
Yeah.
Yanking the train.
All right.
There was one more, right?
Yeah, boardwalk.
Yeah, so there's an email or there's a Word document. There you go. Thank you. I send this to council. I'm sorry it wasn't in the agenda just this morning. You guys have seen it. You saw it when the boardwalk first came up. So it's basically the same thing I sent then. I just wanted to go to section 5 whenever she can find it. Can you find it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I was just going to go. So this is, was my recommendations when this came up when council got so much heat about how we talked about it and what we were doing. And it was my recommendations to council at the time that I think we should still at least discuss. I'll give her a chance to pull up. Okay, I understand. Technology, that's why I like wires. So we're just going to start at number 5 when you get it up. And this is in the record of that meeting. I'm pretty sure I read it directly, I think.
It should be.
Yeah. And I don't think I made any changes. I just found the one that I sent in back then. And I don't even remember which meeting it was, a year and a half ago. It was during when we got the camera permission to do something up there. And then, huh?
I have it. I just can't get my screen to connect. So I'm going to have to go in a different way. Okay.
I sent it to you too, Beth.
I got it.
Yeah, I just want it on the screen. So,
I'm getting it.
No, I'm good.
One sec, sorry. I had it pulled up on my computer to share, but it just does not want to share.
Connect? Doesn't like you.
It does not like you today.
There's too many Bluetooth devices turned on in the meeting.
There we go.
There you go. So if you scroll, one, if you can make it bigger, I hope. And if you scroll down to number 5, I'm going to look around again. So basically at that council meeting, I talked about the fact here's how projects happen in town, and we're in the process right now. So we've identified the need to address the boardwalk, right? And so that's the first step. And so now we need to talk about how we're going to address that project, right? And so there's two parts to it. Part one is we've got a big project. We need to assign someone to start figuring out how much it's going to cost. That's part one. But then part two is council has to figure out how we're going to get citizens' input so that we don't do a project that then the citizens are mad about. And that's where we are right now. The issue is when it first came up to get approval for this project from CAMA, the building inspector recommended to us go ahead and get approval because they're getting ready to change the rules and you want to be in under the old rules. And that's what council did. So right now we have approval for, it was a 2-year approval, so I think we get to go until 2026, if I'm correct. Beth or Mandy, is that correct?
It's due to expire at the end of this year. Yeah.
So December of this year.
December 31st.
December 31st.
It was back in 2023.
Right.
You think there's a chance we ask for our extension?
Right.
Do you think there's a chance we could get an extension on that?
I think that there may be. I've reached out to them already and I haven't heard back. However, I think that since we got the beach management plan, it might not even be an issue.
Okay, so that might give us.
What I think John was trying to avoid was the expiration of the development line.
Right.
So we had that period of time where between the development line expiring and beach management plan was that we had to take a setback off of this static vegetation on instead of the first line of stable natural vegetation. Now with the beach management plan, we're back out to that first line of stable natural vegetation. We're going to be well outside that setback.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
it's a kind of a non-issue at this point.
Well, from this, from approval. Yeah, it's an issue for me and Jimmy because we're spending a lot of money to maintain a deteriorating system, right? And we have a staffing problem. So from Public Works Department, as a Public Works Commissioner, I would say that council, we need to fix the entire boardwalk, not piecemeal like we've done for the last 4 years. And so for that, I still feel it's a project that council needs to figure out how to do. And I think the first part is we need to figure out how to get public input to satisfy ourselves and the citizens that what we're going to do is the right thing, right? So Jimmy and I would like a boardwalk that is not a maintenance headache in 6 years from now if we redo it. The first part was we were concerned about the underlying support structure. We paid for an assessment last year. The report was that it is fine, which is good. So we don't have to tear everything up and start from scratch. We do believe that as whatever we put down there, there will be some additional supporting that will have to be done based on when they get fully in there. But there's not a long-term, the bulkhead going to fall apart issue that I was concerned about. So first off, we start from K to L Avenue. I had serious concerns about that boardwalk because that bulkhead was put back together following Fran in kind of a rapid fashion by the town because we weren't sure we would get approval to fix it. And we didn't want to lose Atlantic Avenue for that first section of town or our parking. So that was put back together. The engineers rated that as it's fine and stable and doesn't have a problem. So whatever we do, we're okay to do. So what I think is that council needs to decide the path forward to turn this into a real project and do it. And so my thoughts were in section six, or actually right below section six, starting at one, right? We need to identify requirements and then have someone bring alternatives to us and then have the citizens or whoever review those alternatives so we can figure it out. So one has to meet all local, state, and federal requirements. That's a given for every project. Two has to be safe for the users. And from my standpoint, that means that the height that it can be above the ground. Jimmy would like to be well off the ground so that it doesn't cause rotting problems and issues. However, no one wants to see handrails on it, so it's a walking path. So that means it has to be close enough to the ground that it doesn't require handrails. So that's one. And then I think, based off the feedback we got, and this is my opinion, not council, so it's just my opinion, it's a walking path. It's not a multi-use path. And then the current foundational issues, wood is a problem, right? In my opinion. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. If we do that, we should work with the finance officer that, okay, we're going to replace it every 10 to 15 years. Because on the front row, wood doesn't last longer than that. So if that's the decision, then we should fund it. And so we just do the whole thing every 10 years. I don't know that that's the right thing to do. I think there are alternatives, but I know there are citizens that don't agree with that. And then the surface should meet appropriate visually to integrate with the oceanfront part and the look that the town is looking for in public areas. And this one is where I think I disagree with some of the feedback we got at our last meeting. I think there are alternative materials that can look like that, but I think we should find them and let citizens weigh in on that and give us feedback. I think from the Public Works role that I fill, we want a low maintenance option. I think they're out there, but we need to find those. And then project costs. So those are my thoughts. That's what I brought it to you. This is where, okay, what's our path forward? It's kind of where I'm turning it over to council now.
Okay. I have some thoughts, but y'all go ahead first. Anybody have anything they want to say? And then let me
Well, I like the option of looking at other material.
Okay.
I've been on some boardwalks down in Florida, highly raised and ground level, and they are all the ones I've been on, I've got some pictures, are Trex or some type of composite, and they look nice.
Yeah, I think there are multiple materials, probably other materials that we're not even aware of at this point. So obviously I think we ought to look at the regulations and what we can cannot do according to CAMA and height requirements, etc. We can do quite a bit of design work, I would imagine, preliminary design work, before we decide on final materials for the surface of the the walkway. I mean, we have to look at the width of the walkway. I think we talked about 8 feet was the last time we came up with a recommendation, or we agreed upon that.
Do what?
8 feet wide is what CAMA allows.
8 feet wide, right?
Yeah. What they would allow now would be a little bit different, though. I'd like to set up a site visit with CAMA. See what the options would be now,
since
it's been 3 years.
Yeah. But if we can get, you know, if we can get CAMA to weigh in on this, give us a set of parameters we can comply with, then I think we can hire somebody to come in and start some design work.
I'll also add on to that, I agree with David about pedestrian only. The roadway there is fine for bicycles and things. There's not that much traffic on Atlantic.
Connie, any comments for
him? No, I agree with what David has set out. If there are multiple materials you can look at. I think, you know, when you get input from, you know, the citizens, if you show them these composite materials, it's a lot different than if you kind of visualize it in your head. So, I mean, I know everyone kind of cringes when you hear concrete, but you know, you go down to, you know, Disney World, Disneyland, and the stamped concrete, you look at it, doesn't look like concrete. It's stained brown. It doesn't really look like concrete at all. I'm not saying that we should do that, but even a lot of the Trex looks like wood. So, I mean, it definitely would last a lot longer, and I think putting wood down every 10 years is probably not a good use of the town's resources.
Okay. When we started this process, we were looking, and when all the talking about making multi-use, we were looking at a way to safely get our walkers and bicycle traffic south on Atlantic without going the wrong way against traffic. That's where all this came about in our initial plan. I tend to agree that beach access and people carrying their coolers and the chairs and their little kids and all that stuff is not compatible with multi-use. It's just not a good mix. I'll admit that. But on the other side, we have to do something to either raise that boardwalk to keep it from rotting, or spending money to build some type of a drainage system through where the mulch area and where the landscaping does not compromise or hold up in there to keep that moisture. I mean, most of our beach access points lasting longer than boardwalk, right, Jimmy? So, and I think a lot of that's going to get airflow underneath them and all that stuff. I agree with David. I think we should do something that the public is involved. Are you, David, thinking about hiring a consultant to do this, to come in and do
I'm not thinking about how to do it, no.
Okay.
I had no thought about it.
Well, I think Neil Andrew did a good job of getting us to this point. I think we need a cost estimate to put in the budget for next year to do the public involvement and do a conceptual design that gives us all the avenues. And I think CAMA involved, we got to have somebody that has experience working with CAMA and can negotiate that for us too. It shouldn't be that complicated, because there's only so much we can do down there. I would, in best case scenario, I would like to see, it's safer for bicyclists who will ride the wrong way. I would like some way of making that work, but that would mean moving the whole boardwalk over to widen that street and possibly put a bike lane in there, and that's not practical, okay? But there, we need to look at some other avenues. We, you know, Mayor Craig had also had some ideas about wanting to redo the parking at the, in Avenue. Possibly we could look at that at the same time, of how that might be designed to make that a little more functional also. I think we can find somebody to come in and do the public involvement part of it and do some design work for us at a reasonable cost.
I agree.
If that's the way council wants to go.
But can't you have a like a concrete foundation that's that part that's not seen, not be wood, steel, concrete, and I mean structure, and then mount treks to the top of that. So
there's all kind of options. You can put concrete underneath, you can put wood underneath, and concrete. I mean, there's just a multitude of things. I think we got a lot working against us down there. A lot of it has to do with drainage and landscaping. That we need to have another somebody else evaluate it and give us an independent look at it. Who do you want? Is Public Works ready to take this on? How do we want to handle this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think right now with Jimmy being four short that it is something he wants to take on. And I know that I'm not going to right now with my work schedule either. I'm just saying this is, I think, what the council's got to figure out path forward, right? I mean, otherwise, when we build the budget, we're going to put more money in for contractors to work on that versus public works people because we're so short.
An NC State graduate program? Do those have...
I mean, I would rather get...
I mean, I have a friend that's a PhD in water resource management dealing with the ocean.
Okay. If you can get NC State to come in here and do it, more power to you. They just don't do projects. They just don't
Well, do I don't mean come do the work.
Yeah. They won't... The yeah, it's hard to get... It'd be hard to get UNCW to come do the study and it being right here. I think...
What did it cost us to have, Benich come in and do the Sandman?
Yeah, I think Benich, they could do this for us. This is something they could do for us that I'd be glad to talk to them about it.
I mean, I think we're pleased with what they've done with Sandman so far.
They're designing a lot of stuff, and they have the people internal to do that type of stuff. Yeah. My next thing was, without taking on anything else right now, I will be glad to talk to them and see if they'd be willing to give us a call.
Remember, if the estimated cost is more than $50,000,
yes, sir.
It's an RFQ.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see it being that, no. If it is, we understand. I know we have to do that. But it won't hurt to have that first conversation and tell them what we're looking for. They have all the resources and they do a lot of this work, so we can reach out to them. And I'll be glad to reach out to them in their local office. Is that agreeable with everybody? And then we'll take that number and I'll try to have that number by that April 4th meeting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jimmy, a couple things we can do is just keep on the real bad boards you're going to have to replace. If you feel like there's any areas you can dig out some of the mulch area and fix it where that water will drain through into the dunes. It's got to get there somehow. I mean, if any of that stuff can be done, might help out some in the bad spots. And Jimmy and I have already talked about it. We're going to reduce the amount of mulch we put down through there because it's tending to cause more of a problem with everything just coming on. So we'll try to maybe during a rainstorm we can see where the bad parts are. You might already know where they are and everything. So, all right.
Kind of on subject here, but
okay.
where did we leave it with the washouts along those accesses off Atlanta? Atlantic from PCT 8, those things on either side of a couple of those accesses heading out got washed out.
We're not going to go back and backfill them. They're fine the way they are.
Right.
We were waiting for beach renourishment, but
because that's not going to happen this year.
But I don't think it makes sense to go back in and backfill those because you mess up more of the dunes doing that. All of the walkways are stable. Today, as you guys know, the front end loader was down there working on that new...
The camera grant.
Yeah. The camera grant. But we verified that none of the walkways are unstable where they are.
Right.
And now the water showed the true natural path of where water goes, so it allows it to get out of there instead of building up on Atlantic Avenue.
I think there's some areas that probably need some sea oats planted, Dennis, in there that you were going to get the SLAP committee to look at those areas. We also found out that FEMA will pay for reimbursement for that dune we had to push up at H Avenue. So we need, but you don't plant those till the spring. So we need to work with, and I've asked the Corps of Engineers for their specifications on dune plantings, how far apart and all that stuff, what they recommend, and I've not heard back from them on that. But if we could do that, then we feel like FEMA, we pretty much, I guess it's safe to say in New Orleans that FEMA beach guy, that he said that as long as that water didn't come from beach damage, right, it came from washout damage, right, that FEMA would reimburse us for, they should reimburse us for the pushing that sand up, that emergency we got with the guy that pushed the sand back up and replanting the dunes. So I'll see if I can't get that.
Well, the sea oats company, what's their name again?
Coastal Concepts.
They should know.
They should know the specifications. So we need to get a cost from them.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean to butt in.
Yeah, go ahead.
If we're doing the outfalls, we might as well go ahead and count on replanting sea oats through the dunes when we go through.
How about you talking to Dennis and letting him know the places we're talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, because they're going to have to come through the dunes if they're going to replace it. Absolutely. Okay. Okay, we good there? Yeah. All right. Have we any other questions, any other comments we want to do? Are we happy with doing that? I'll reach out to Benish and see what they will do that and put that in the budget. Okay. All right. I'd like to go ahead and talk about the Cama Beach Access Grants next, and this is more for information and guidelines. Currently, we have the L Avenue beach access being constructed now, and contractors are working on it, and they should have it knocked out in a couple weeks. There is a good funding source to do replacements of those each year, but it does include a match. So if it's okay with council, we'll move forward with doing the one beside the lifeguard shack for next year. And that will still fall under the end of the design, and any of that stuff will fall underneath the $50,000 for professional services. Neil Andrews has done a good job for us on the other one and very knowledgeable of it. And David, Chief Kennedy, we can work with you and how we're going to do that. We'll get you, the fire department involved since it's right there beside the and that area did wash out pretty good from the storm. So we'll work in that thing for next budget year. That would be a grant that Adrian would write for us since you wrote the last one. And we actually were approved for that area before, but then we only decided to do one of them. So is that agreeable with everyone? We'll move forward with that on the budget also. Okay.
Is this a grant program we're looking for? There's one that's due April
25th? I think you have to have it's a CAMA grant that you have to have a preliminary budget. You have to have a preliminary application in, which we basically already have done.
Okay, there's
a... Yeah.
I'll talk to you about this.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think, from what we've been told since we were approved that first time, this one shouldn't be a problem, but I would like to see us prioritize our beach access. I think Jimmy will agree. We got a bunch of them that need work. And before we have an act, whether they might be unsightly, but they're not unsafe.
Right.
But eventually they will need attention. Okay.
I think in the budget we're going to put in contract services for some of that.
Yeah.
And so what's the rules if we're just doing refurbishment operationally, Mr. Attorney?
I'm sorry, the question is?
So if we're seeking just construction services, not new, not a bid, but to refurbish a beach access.
Construction or repair, I never can remember them, but you've got black and white expenditure levels that determine formal or informal.
Can you just send those to me and Jimmy so we know?
It's like 50, it's like 500,000.
I just had that the other day.
You can just send it to us.
It's the one that's other than buildings. There's a certain one for buildings, and then there's another one for everything else. So I assume this will fall under that.
Because what I think is, if we write a spec, we will bid it out and have someone go through, and we'll prioritize the beach accesses and then see what the quotes say.
Now you can, if I understood Mayor correctly, Andrew can do the preliminary work for less.
They can do the whole design for 50 or less.
So, this is just for repair, not for a new one. So,
you're just talking about repair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Under our operational budget, but getting one construction company that will come out and just, verify the railings, put screws in, replace boards if they're needed that are warped or up, and just tie everything back down. And I think that's the most efficient way to do that, as short as the department's been for this year, to get us ready for the season. So we'll work to get that information.
For some reason, $90,000 comes to mind.
We'll get the number. Just let us know what the number is.
I can't think what it is for that in particular. It could be 90, but it's
okay. Just give us the right number so Jimmy and I know as we're working.
300. 500 if you're dealing
with
buildings. I had it just a little bit.
Okay.
It's all good. Just you guys let us know. Okay. We'll make sure we stay under it.
All right. Let's talk about legislative goals with the General Assembly. Last week I received the goals for the North Carolina League of Municipalities. Connie and I are going to Raleigh for that city-state dinner in a couple of weeks. And we will be, hopefully, if it works out, we're going to have some individual meeting for Senator Lee and Representative Miller to talk about some of these goals. And I think if we say we are following the legislative goals of the League of Municipalities, that way they're hearing the same thing. If y'all look through those, and I tend to agree with the ones about funding streams to address water, sewer, stormwater, transportation, and other infrastructure is the first one. I think that's very relevant. That's the reason it's at the top of the list for the league.
Yeah.
Funding stream for construction and maintenance of municipal and state-owned secondary roads, and that falls with the PAL bill and other state funding. create incentives that encourage and adequately fund regional water and sewer solutions. I don't think necessarily that applies to us right now, but it may somewhere down the road. But I think it's, we need to keep that on the radar screen. Of course, any type of funding for disaster resiliency and recovery efforts. A lot of y'all don't know, but if we had not received the federal declaration, the state would have, it kicks in a different thing. So when David and I first met with the state people, we didn't know for sure if we'd get a federal declaration. So when that came through, that kind of took us to a different level. But we need to, North Carolina needs to have money set aside for natural disasters and throughout the whole state. I think we need to, and I think that's a no-brainer. The rest of the incentives here, I don't know. Maybe at some point this providing a local revenue option beyond the property tax. I don't know exactly how other communities are doing that to make do, or what they have there, but and Arlen, maybe you read, have you read anything you've been hearing about other ways of other revenue streams, what they may be? Is that development fees they're talking about, or?
Bottom line, there really aren't too many
other. I didn't think there were.
The way North Carolina operates, if the state statutes don't say you can charge for certain things,
yeah. I mean, I don't see with the approach that our General Assembly has right now that they're going to allow us to have that flexibility.
And I think that's why they don't really say anything here.
Yeah.
Nice to have something.
Yeah, I know. But I think those areas there are definitely some of the things we need to emphasize. The rest of them I don't really see they provide a lot for us. Or anything we can that would help us out.
Is there any talk you meet with the TDA all the time, yeah. or at least quarterly? Are they discussing future raising the heads on beds tax at all?
That have to go through the General Assembly. I think that is set through the General Assembly, I think that they're going to let a sleeping dog lie right there. They're not
good.
They're not ready to. They don't want to raise that issue that may cause other problems. So I don't see that being, now, every county is different how they do it. Not everybody has beaches, so doesn't everybody give that first 3% to beach renourishment. So I don't know that they would want to get into that. That's not been discussed at all. We'll take this message forward and see how it goes. And hopefully we're going to talk to especially Representative Miller about the DOT project that we have and we want to see coming down the road. And hopefully some of the stormwater issues will be funded also. All right. If y'all read through those and see anything else you'd like for us to discuss while we're there, that will be like the 26th, isn't it, Connie? The
26th, the end of February.
Yeah, 26th or something like that is when we're going to be in Raleigh.
So I'm surprised that the league still's not saying anything about rental, short-term rentals anywhere in there.
Yeah, I know. And maybe they just decided it's not something they want.
I mean, the fact that they're not considered businesses is causing a lot of their constituents to have problems.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm just surprised. Okay.
Agree. All right. If it's okay with everybody, can we take a quick 15-minute break?
Yes.
And bathroom break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the DOT projects and the park projects, okay?
Okay.
Be back here at 2:45. Question. Wrapping up the end of the day. The next thing we're going to talk about is the transportation bike ped projects we have going on. A couple of them I wanted to give y'all just a brief update on of where we are for the commissioners and department heads. Fort Fisher and Kay was a federal grant that we received for crosswalks in that area. The plans, 100% plans have been approved, and it's ready to go to the right-of-way process. I'll have an updated call on Wednesday about that. But that is moving forward with a potential bidding prior to September, sometime in May, and then construction would start after September of this coming year. The next one are the three crosswalks, the one here at Settlers and K Avenue, the one at Fort Fisher and E, and Fort Fisher and I, and we are waiting on those two of those. On E and I, we have to do a construction easement where we won't infringe on some individual property. We won't have to purchase any right away, but we could disturb some of their property, and we just have an agreement with them. The attorney has the agreements ready. We just have to get with the property owners and get them to sign them. So and those three crosswalks are ready to go out to bid as soon as we get those construction easements signed. So within the next month, that will go out to bid, and those projects can be completed by Memorial Day weekend. A lot of these things have to be approved through DOT, even though they aren't the ones paying for it. But since it's on a state road, they have to approve it. So now the topic of the Greenway feasibility study, it was completed. Final draft was submitted September of 2024. Where we are, we can all debate the things such as cost or the route, but this is a plan that was submitted by Alta Design that jumped through all the hoops and did all the work on that. The next step is MOTSU is to do a environmental assessment. We have the potential to receive some grant funding to do that environmental assessment from a private grant source. But this feasibility study needs to be adopted by our town council. Now, what do we mean by adopted? That means that we agree with the study. It does not commit us to, a route, the actual route, or the dollar amount, or any of that stuff, or the timeline, or the phasing, or anything. But to qualify, one of the boxes we will always have to check off if we're applying for a grant is this study being adopted by the local agency, but local government, former local government. So I'd like to open it up for discussion with the other commissioners. We will not make a decision today. We will not vote on this today. I just want discussion, and then we will put it on the agenda under old business at our February meeting on the 17th?
Yes, sir.
So just to make sure that everybody understands that from the commissioner's standpoint, that $21 million is a lot of money. That is the plan to go all the way to the ferry landing. The biggest part of this project is on MOTSU territory, even when it gets outside the town limits. So MOTSU is going to require a lot of environmental assessments. As David and I found out when we talked to him about stormwater, they have a lot of requirements. So we are, this is where we are in the process. So any concerns or conversation between the commissioners?
Well, I'm the council's rep to the bike ped, and I will state for the record that I agree with the feasibility study. I like most of the stuff that's in there. I would like to recommend to, not that we're going to vote, but to the other council members that we do, as a council, agree or support or approve the feasibility study. There's no way that I would ever vote for this town to fund a $21 million project put on the backs of 2,000 people. But I think as a feasibility study, and if you were to take it up into chunks and get grants and start working it, it's a good, viable plan.
Thank you, John. I will say that the state did, and one of the first things the state of North Carolina said when we started this process is that this trail was a priority to the state, because it connects two state recreation areas, the state park and the state recreation area, and the ferry landing fits in within the goals for transportation and intermodal travel. They're going to have to come aboard and put up where they said they needed to, and that means funding and a lot of assistance on this. So have any other comments? Otherwise, we'll place this on the agenda for approval at the February meeting.
I just review this whole plan again. I didn't see any estimates, cost estimates, for the environmental studies. And then look more closely at all the cost estimates and funding sources and other facilities that have been built around North Carolina and other areas in the United States. What is the likelihood of raising, it's going to be more than $21 million.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Maybe double.
The day the ink dried on this piece of paper, it was more than $21 million.
Right. Okay. So we're looking at a huge cost. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a feasibility. Do we have any sense? Does the committee have any sense on how other similar greenways have been funded and how long it takes?
Well, I can just say that because this is actually not Curry Beach Trail, it's the East Coast Greenway Trail, which goes from Maine to Key West, Florida, and also it's a great state trail in North Carolina. That's really the key here with the funding, because several years ago I read when the East Coast Greenway was going through Jacksonville, Florida, they got a grant for something like $25 million to take it through Jacksonville. So it's not East Coast Greenway that actually has the money, but that's one of the main keys to get the funding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's positive. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good sign. Do you have any sense of where that $25 million came from?
I do not know for sure. I think a federal, state, private. You know, we're always looking for funds, and the committee's looking for funds. Bike Walk NC is looking for funds. Terry Dungy Bicycling Foundation looks for funds. So even this particular feasibility study was an $86,000 study paid for by NCDOT. And we got that through WMPO. So, you know, kind of keep like all those avenues open. And I think Adrian Harrington from Smart Moves Consulting, who does some grant writing for our town. Is, you know, she gets those grants like coming into her email all the time.
Mm-hmm. And who takes primary responsibility for raising the funds?
Pardon me?
Who takes primary responsibility for raising these funds?
Who takes the primary responsibility?
Yeah, like, is it the East Coast Greenway? Who basically is the person that's going to raise the money?
Who's going to go out and knock on doors?
Knock on doors or borrow money or whatever.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of knocking on doors and borrowing money. It's a matter of...
I mean, it depends on whether...
Yeah, right. The grants, as the grants come in.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the if state of North Carolina gets behind it, it'll just be a transportation project. Now, whether or not it will, I can't answer that. We have been told by our representative it's a priority for him.
Okay.
So that only tells us that he would support it if the money's available. But who knows at the time. I know some other cities in North Carolina have applied for some federal grant. Is it RISE grant?
Yeah, RISE.
RISE, isn't it? It's a federal grant. I know High Point got $19 million for a greenway through the old industrial area quarters of town. Mm-hmm. So they've not put that into place yet, so I don't know how far they'll get with that. But I think... Alta did that grant for them right before they started our bike ped plan, our master plan. So I think there's options out there. I don't think we can go to the table without our plan being adopted.
Right. That's the whole idea of that. I mean, it's why this committee started with our town's bike ped plan, because we couldn't even get grants for anything unless we had an approved bike ped plan. And with the feasibility study, you know, there were three in our WMPO that had feasibility studies. The Rails to Trails, downtown Wilmington, ours, and then the Gullah Geechee Trail. Now, the Gullah Geechee Trail that runs in Brunswick County is gonna go from Navassa to Southport. That's, you know, the total length of it. And that runs from Jacksonville, Florida to Jacksonville, North Carolina. So this is the way of the future. This is progress. This is what is happening. And our state is on board with it. So I can't imagine that all of this is going to be studied and all of this is going to be proposed, and then there's not going to be the money to provide for it. And I don't think that it's going to be expected of the residents and property owners of a town, you know, the size of our town.
No, we can't.
No, I mean, I'm in favor of approving the study. Okay, that's not. I'm trying to get a sense, maybe of timing, of management, of how these things progress over what time. And just let's look at the first part of this, the Matsu environmental study. All right. Do we need, or does the town need to take responsibility for finding the funding to get that done or organizing that to move on to the next step? Or do we have someone else coming in and doing this?
Well, Commissioner Peony Kelly, those are really good questions. And Andrew Meeker, who is our representative for the East Coast Greenway in North Carolina, is going to be presenting at the WMPO on, I think it's Wednesday, February 26th or something. And I'm going to have lunch with him that day. And those are the kind of questions that I can ask him. If you'd like to join us, I mean, anybody who would like to join us, that would be great.
Okay.
That's what happens between Connie and I are in Raleigh.
Yeah.
And we won't be available. East Coast Greenway has shown some interest in funding the feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, they've not written me a check yet. So, or written us a check yet. But they have shown some interest in that. The one of the sticking points is getting Matsu to tell us exactly where they want the environmental study. So I've got to get, still haven't got that pinned down yet, but you know, you ask questions and we've just...
Well, it depends on which plan we follow.
Well, it depends on which plan. It also depends on how wide a area we're going to try to...
Sure.
Because, you know, we just got to iron that out with Matsu. So.
Oh, easy to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, or otherwise we'll add it to the agenda for the February meeting. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Joe Eats Park. Nikki, you want
to? Yeah,
you know, give that a shot, and then I'll chime in if you need anything.
You want the sketch up or the cost estimate?
Well, the sketch. So, at last year's retreat, council directed staff to submit the most recent draft of the preliminary sketch plan, which is the one on the screen, for Joey Spark to Matsu for review. At that time, we also submitted a request to extend the terms of our lease from 5 years to 25 years. It took until November to hear back from Matsu regarding the park plan, and to my knowledge, we have not yet heard back about our leases. Regarding the park plan, they've stated they will not provide feedback until they see at least 50% design development plans. So, we requested an informal quote from Banesh, who has taken us this far in the process so far, for professional design services, just to have an idea of what it would cost to get to 50% design development plans. And they provided a very in-depth proposal that is a three-part, three phases. So phase one would be 50% design development, and that comes in at almost $66,000. And with that proposal being over the $50,000, we would have to do an RFQ, so they may not be rewarded that contract, but we would have to go through an RFQ process to actually award that contract. So today, I guess the discussion could focus on two points. As one is if we're ready to take the next step in budget for the 50% design development plans and begin the RFP or RFQ process, and then if council doesn't want to move forward, are there any revisions that you guys haven't critically evaluated the park plan yet? So if there's any revisions you'd like to make to this before it goes into development. The initial draft was created based on public input, and then that was presented at the public input session where folks then provided additional input. The plan was revised based on public input, so everything so far to how we got to where we are today has been all based on feedback from the public. We were hoping for Matsu guidance prior to council review and investing in design development, but we now know that's not going to happen. So if council wants to initiate any additional revisions prior to going to development, we did budget for that in this fiscal year to do another round of revisions to the plan. So that kind of brings us up to speed with where we're at.
I've got one question for Nikki. Nikki, the site plan drawings on the cost estimate, I'm having a hard time understanding this cost estimate. It looks like a budget for the whole thing.
Yeah, they provided we just wanted to know what it would cost to get to the 50% so we can submit to Matsu, but they provided a whole scope and budget to take us through construction and everything, and that's like $200,000+. So
what figure did you come up with for the
phase one was $66,000.
And is that on the cost estimate, or is that a different document?
It's all included in one document.
I'm just trying to find it. Is
this it's not in the. That sure. Is their budget for. I just received this late last week.
So you've got something separate.
Separate that has the design development. Yeah, the cost estimate that's in there is for construction of their general assessment for that project.
Thank
you. We're talking just design development at this point.
And in the in dealing with Matsu, we were hoping, and we were really given the perception from them that they would look at this and, hey, put us an X. If you think this is a no-go, tell us that, and we'll rework it from here. We didn't receive that. At first, we were told we had to present 100% design plans, and then they backed that off to 50% design plans. They wanted to see where underground utilities, all that stuff is going, and where things are on the site. So I think if we really want to do this project, in which I think we should, I think this is the direction we're going to have to go. We're going to have to jump through their hoops. We did ask for the 25 years so we could qualify for state and federal grants. They haven't responded to that, but we also found out that they don't know who approves contracts over there. They don't approve them over here at Sunny Point. They don't approve them in Charleston anymore, or Savannah. So they're in a little bit of turmoil of knowing who handles maintenance or contract for facility agreements. So evidently they don't know who's doing what, but, or we would have received a contract to renew our contracts with them. How many contracts do we have out? Are we waiting on 2 or 3? So this is not the only facility we have with them that we're waiting to update the contract. Council's thoughts?
Is it easy to get just a 50% development plan? I mean, it seems like you would have to do it 100% to know exactly.
Well,
how do you do 50? I'm just trying to understand, how do you do 50%?
I mean, in construction, you do that all the time, Connie. So,
do you?
Yeah, 50% means a certain amount of stuff. So you've identified here's where the electrical runs are, but not the conduit sizes or wire sizes. So there's a lot more.
Oh.
So you can lay everything's laid out, but get 100% tells you, okay, this size breaker, these size wires,
okay,
this size conduit. 50% tells you here's where everything goes and make sure there's no interference.
Okay, so you don't say, yeah, here's a fence, but you don't say what the fence is made
of. That's exactly
here's
right. 100% says it's going to be from this manufacturer, and
okay,
the posts are this high, and the color is this, right? So that's the difference.
That's how you get a 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, we may run into some stormwater issues on this site. It may cause us to have to reduce the number of courts or amenities in there. We don't know that yet, and that is a very distinct possibility. I don't want to sugarcoat anybody for everybody to think that this is exactly what it's going to look like. We may get comments back that we have to adjust the plan down to not have as much impervious surface. So is council good with?
I mean, if we plan for this council or another council moving forward, we're going to have to get MISO permission first. And
correct,
to do that, we're going to have to do what they told us to.
Yeah, yeah.
We just hope they don't change it again, right?
So right.
Did you at least get it in writing? This is what they needed?
They wrote that to the mayor.
Yeah, okay. So
okay,
at least you got that.
But in a meeting we had with them back in July, there were hints of environmental impact and additional kind of.
Well, the good thing is we're not expanding outside our lease, so that should not happen. We've already leased all the property that we're talking about, so
yeah, we're not expanding.
We shouldn't have to do another environmental impact because there's already a park there, so it's the same stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
And the stormwater is the state, not Matsu.
Right.
They won't care about stormwater, but the state may. They shouldn't because of where the property is, but it's just the... We have to talk to the regional people once we have a design.
Right. Correct. Yes,
one
sir.
One other question might seem like a silly question. The RFQ that we're talking about for the 50% design services, would that occur in the next fiscal year or before the end of this fiscal year?
We have no money for this fiscal year. It would be next budget year.
All right, thank you.
I mean, we could do a budget amendment. I don't know.
Yeah, the proposal that Banesh gave, also it goes all the way through like construction documents and closing out. So if we were going to do the RFQ, would we want to get those in where it's phased like this, where phase one is 50%, but you're using the same company and not having to go through the whole process again to go further in that process?
I would rather have it where we pick one firm to do the whole design. And then we just have a contract for the 50%.
Right, I agree.
And then if we go forward with it, then we have another contract.
But we'd have to do a whole new RFQ.
I think we could do it. Since it's over, I think...
That's a
conversation we'll have to have. That's a conversation we'll have to have with Jim, whether we can do it or not. But yes, we want the same firm to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we want to break it down into
RFQ for each state.
Correct. We don't want that.
I think you could RFQ the whole thing.
Right.
And embed somewhere in there an agreement, the contract, the first result of the contract would be the 50% design. But one thing I would request of you, if you could send me that document.
Yes.
Is this something we want to undertake at this point when we have no idea if they'll give us a 20-year lease?
I didn't hear about that. Yeah.
If we suspect they won't give us a long enough lease to get state, federal funds, is this something we want to go forward with? Will anyone give us grants to...
Well, the most we're going to get from the state would be $500,000.
Okay.
That's the most.
So what I'm just wondering, if Matsu won't lease the property to us in a way that any granting agency will be willing to fund this, do we even want to go forward with the 50% plans?
Right.
If we don't, we have to do renovations over there regardless, because there's some parts of it that are in desperate need of.
Right.
And are become.
But I think Dennis's question is exactly right. And so, if we spend $66,000 and get a design, but they don't give us a 20-year lease, we're not going to get any grants, right? Maybe New Hanover County Parks, maybe, but I think they would require 20 years too, right? We don't know.
Their endowment doesn't have that requirement on the.
So they don't have that requirement. That's just a state requirement.
That's a state grant requirement, yes.
Does MOTSU require the 50% design before answering the term of the lease?
No, the lease is there. It's just they just won't give us anything but 5 years at a time. We've asked multitudes of time for a 20-year lease, and we've been turned down every time. We got the documentation to show that. But they are continually lease us the property for 5 years at a time. Same way, but they don't, I guess I'm correct in this making this statement, but even the water towers and the sewage lagoons and that type of stuff, all that is 5 years.
It is now. The sewage lagoon was initially 50 years.
Was it? And that now is five?
Yeah, and our easements for all the ditches are
50 years.
30, I think. I think they said in their note. It wasn't 50, it was somewhere.
Something, but it was more than five.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I think for other stuff that you put on their properties, that they have in the last 5 or 10 years went to shorter term leases and charging more, right? So you remember they impacted our budget. Arlen, was that like 4 or 5 years ago where they changed the rate on all the leases?
Done a couple times with administrative charges.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're raising more money out of it and they're making you more short term.
And that doesn't do anything but cover them if...
Well, and it keeps people from putting other much stuff on their property because you, you don't want to put stuff there and then not have the land.
Not have the land.
I think Dennis's point's a good point, though. We should get a formal answer to the request before, because I don't know that we're going to spend $6 million of Curie Beach citizens' money to build the park. John's shaking his head. I'm kind of with him on that.
I tend to agree with you, David.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a good potential here for some funding through the Community Foundation.
Right.
If we can leverage those funds, and it all keys on getting Matsu's approval.
Right.
I agree. I mean, unless we find some big benefactor, $6 million for a town of Curie Beach is huge. Yep. So, and it's not like you can piecemeal this thing. You'd have to do it.
You can't. Well, they still have to approve, right?
Yeah, and they got to approve it. So. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have Nikki include it in her budget for the first 50%? We'll move forward with trying to get Matsu to give us a more definitive answer and see where we are before we adopt the budget.
I think that's exactly the right way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's okay with everybody?
Maybe we could find another non-grant source to fund the 50% grant?
Is PARDF a resource?
PARDF does not fund studies like this.
Anybody fund studies?
I've never come across anybody funding studies.
So,
I never come across anybody from the studies, unfortunately.
Charlie Miller's got the money.
Charlie Miller's got the money.
Charlie Miller and Michael Lee.
Maybe. So, we'll see.
So the oddity of the state paying for that feasibility study was special money that was set aside that year in General Assembly.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every year either. So all right.
Am I hearing that similar to the feasibility study, it's only fourth of the cost, but we would support this plan, but we don't agree that we're putting that $6 million on the back of this town?
Yeah.
Not at this moment, no.
Okay.
No.
What moment?
Excuse me. You're not gonna, by the time this council votes, who's sitting up here may be another factor.
So. That's true.
Okay.
Always a factor. Right?
I'll be in a nursing home.
I know. We're gonna push you on this. Through this we'll take you there. I would make some other comments.
Okay, move on.
All right, Sandman. Nikki, I'll let you.
Yeah, I'll get it started again. Council approved money in this year's budget to update the Sandman Park concept plan, as the initial draft of the plan was completed prior to the adjacent property being deeded to the town from Beefwalk HOA. So Banesh is who we worked with this plan as well. They extended the path and the landscaping into the adjacent Beefwalk property, giving us the current version of the plan and budget viewable today. A few of the key themes that came out from the public input session for this property included quiet green space, trees, benches, small water feature, meditation walking circle, and open space for kids play. The park concept plan reflects those themes, and the price tag, as you see, is like $450,000. So that kind of brings us up to speed with where we're at with that one.
So this one, I believe, we can get funding. It's a new park between New Andover County and Charlie Miller. They're both interested, I believe. There's one issue with this design. The stormwater pipes go right underneath that main feature, so we got to look at that. So there's underground stormwater. Yes.
Part, yeah.
There's underground stormwater pipes that go to feed that ditch that service phase four, because this at one time used to be a stormwater pond, and so we have to make sure we don't make them unmaintainable. And so Jimmy and I need to look at what we're putting there so that we can fix, maintain and those pipes, right?
This is the concept plan where when it goes to design and that.
Right. They need to factor that in. But but I think this one, we don't have a MOTSU issue. I think this one we should be able to move forward with and try to get outside funding.
I still think it requires an RFQ.
We don't have a, I mean, we don't, that was their construction estimate. Like, we'd have to go into the next step of the process, which would be design.
Right.
Yeah, and that will require an RFQ.
Yeah, we agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This thing that we're looking at right now with Dinesh, the $448,000, is that for design service?
No, that's their estimate for the entire project.
That's their estimate for the construction?
Yeah.
Yes.
To build what's that?
I think the documents are not real clear.
Yep.
So, I'll be more than glad to bring this project up when we meet with Representative Miller.
Yeah.
He has not given me indication that we could get funded for this because it will not qualify for a PARTIF grant, I don't think. It'd be difficult, I think, to get a PARTIF grant for this, just from my...
Is that because of parking or...?
It's because of lack of a overall comprehensive master plan. Just a lot of things that get us points because there's a point system on it.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that through the political side of it we can't get funding for it, but just from the pure aspects of qualifying for a part of grant, it's just not.
No, that's fair.
It's just not there.
Well, and the other thing is we should talk to New Edinburgh County as well for their park system. I mean, it's another, the one issue I think New Edinburgh County may have a concern about is there's no parking. So I don't know what they'll, I don't know how they'll look at that.
It's a neighborhood park, which don't normally have parking. It doesn't have a lot of elements to it other than places to sit and places to walk. But I'll be more than glad to have that conversation with Charlie, and if he's, we have a good cost estimate for it, and if he says he can get us funding for it, then we'll.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth the pursuit, right?
Yeah.
The cost estimate doesn't include any design development, but so at this point, it would be wait till after your conversation.
That's going to be within before our next budget meeting, so I'll see what I can come up with. I'll make sure I've got all these and nice copies of it, and we'll take it to Raleigh when we go.
Perfect.
Okay. Any other questions about this? I do think, David, I thought we had been given all the where everything was before we started this stuff.
Yeah, so. On that drawing, I can't tell. I just know they're close, and we just got to look at that.
And I think we're going to have some questions from the citizens over there. Is it, how is this going to improve? Is this going to improve or hurt stormwater in that area?
Well, and I'm not going to allow it to hurt it. I don't think it's going to improve it. Making enough pervious surface that's going to matter there, but it's not going to improve the stormwater over there unless we change the pipes. And even if we change the pipes, I don't think it's going to improve what's over there because of the water levels of the ponds and where that stuff goes. So I don't think it's going to, we will not let it make it worse, but I don't think it's going to make it better putting a park over the top of those pipes.
Okay. All right, everybody okay with that? Connie and I got a little homework today.
Yep.
Yeah, John.
Pervious surface, the water goes through.
Pervious water goes through.
Yes.
Impervious.
Pervious good.
Pervious concrete.
That is pervious. That is the path or pervious for ADA stuff.
Okay. Well, the words like pervious concrete. How do the water go through concrete?
Yeah, yeah, pervious will not go through.
I guess you could put down pavers or concrete.
Yeah.
Even with that, it's not, it's so minimal an amount, it's not going to impact.
Yeah, it's not that much. It's over there. So, and we're adding a lot of trees, and that stuff should help out. So, a lot of stuff. So, all right.
Oh, I see.
Any other topics to be discussed?
Yeah, I see now.
For the good of the group, been a productive day.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, you have anything else?
I'm good.
David, do you have anything else?
Yes, sir.
Connie?
Good day.
No, I'm good.
John?
Good to go.
All right. Staff, we cover everything? I didn't forget anything, Beth?
No, sir.
Been a good day. I appreciate y'all's input and time, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn.